Good morning and welcome to Peach Talk. This is our town. I'm Chris Johnson, your host, and my very special guest in the studio this morning is Reverend Tony Hughes. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Chris. Glad to be a part of this program. I was listening the other day when you had an interview, and it was very informative, and I certainly enjoyed listening to it and appreciate you asking me to be a part this morning.
Well, you've been a part of our community for a good long while as a pastor. And very active in other community organizations in our community. And so you've become a part of the history of Chilton County and Clanton. And we're honored to have you with us this morning. You came to, I guess, what year did you wind up coming to Chilton County?
I was appointed to Walnut Creek. And at that time also, the church out at Isabella. It was a two-point charge, and I was appointed by the United Methodist Church here in June of 1987. And one of the members out there was a Mr. Willie Johnson.
Yep, my dad.
Yeah, and looking at you now, I'm looking at Willie.
I appreciate that. I take that as a full-blown honor. I've been told that before, and if I could fill those shoes, I would be a good man.
You would, and let me tell you now, at that time, if you recall, the Walnut Creek Church was just a single building over on the east side of the road there across from the parsonage, and it had a Sunday school room built and a very, very small little fellowship hall, and we had a social there, I think one Wednesday night or a Sunday night, can't remember which. Now your dad was which one of the... He was the...
He was both, and a lot of folks don't know that. Everybody remembers
him. But the latter part, he was...
Everybody remembers him as the Pepsi Man.
He was the Pepsi Man. Well, I thought I would be real smart. I had no idea what that was, so I brought to the social a carton of Coca-Colas. That didn't work out very well. So as long as Mr. Willie was there forever and ever, if I brought drinks, they were Pepsi products.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't realize he spent about 20 years with Coca-Cola before he went to work with Pepsi.
And who was the Coke guy?
Gilbert Green.
Gilbert Green.
And Dad and Gilbert were arch enemies when it came to a competition.
Yeah.
But
great friends.
But they were great friends also.
Otherwise.
Actually, Daddy was working for Coca-Cola when Gilbert went to work for Coca-Cola. They worked together with Coke out of a warehouse that's down there. The Littlefield family owns it now, next to the Bell Bond place down there. That was a Coca-Cola warehouse way back then.
And after that, Pee Wee Kelly had it.
Well, no, Pee Wee Kelly was next door to it.
Okay.
Martin Brothers Tin Shop moved in there for many years.
That's right. Yeah, I remember now. Pee Wee cracked pecans down there for a long time.
He was in the building where the Rogers Bell Bond place is at there.
And Gilbert Green, he was one, I'm telling you, he was one of my favorites.
He was a
bona fide one of a kind.
Good Christian man, and he was just like Dad. He would give you fits if you showed up anywhere around him with a Pepsi can. You would catch it from Gilbert.
That's right. Glenn McGriff, our circuit clerk, a really good citizen of Chilton County. I don't know of anybody that I think has done more in these last several years than Glenn, but he has a phrase that he uses for a unique individual. He would say he's one of the non-such.
Non-such.
One of the non-such. And Gilbert was certainly that. And your dad, Willie, he was a very well-known and a great contributor to the life of Chilton County.
And I'm proud of all he did, too. He left here with nothing, but he gave everything away. And I guess that's... He taught me how to do people right, and I tried my best to do that. Walnut Creek was your first, the bigger church. You came to Isabella and Walnut at the same time as most of the Methodist pastors do in the smaller churches. Wound up with a pastor in more than one church, but you pretty much were full-time at Walnut.
I was full-time.
Part-time at Isabella.
At Isabella. I would go out to Isabella on just only two Sundays per month at an early hour. I think was at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and then back for Sunday school and church at Walnut Creek. But Beth and I, my wife Beth, and I had finished seminary. I'd finally gotten through college at Huntington and finished seminary. I'd answered the call to the ministry late, Chris, and had college to go through down at Huntington. And then I took 3 years between 78 and 81 before I went over to Atlanta, Georgia, to Emory University Candler School of Theology. Graduated there in 85, and then went through the ordination process and ordained an elder. And Walnut Creek was my really first full-time appointment. And I came here thinking, you know, Beth and I'd probably be here 2 or 3 years. But then I fell in love with Clanton and Children County and all the folks in this community, and now I've been here. I was at Walnut Creek 28 years, and now I've been at Mount Nebo 8 years, so 36 years I've been in the ministry here in Children County.
Well, when God sends you to God country, it's hard to leave.
Absolutely. I had no desire to leave. And also there was another factor, and this was no surprise to God, because God's not surprised by anything that happened. God already knows. And if you are his child and you are trying to do all that you can for his work, He's going to look after you. Now, maybe sometimes we feel like, you know, that's not happening, but God's always there and always looking after us. So he knew exactly what was happening when Beth and I got appointed here. She, at that time, Beth is an attorney, and she had about 2 years at that time. No. She had just started with the Attorney General's office, as a newbie down there. And so being here in the interstate, you know, Walnut Creek was right off the interstate exchange there at 208. So she could hop on the interstate and be at her work in 35, 40 minutes. And it just worked out great for us. And then we had those two boys to come along. And, hey, there was just no better place. And when the conference would call and say, if you remember back in the Methodist Church, about 3 to 5 years was all you stayed.
Yeah.
And so John Ed Matheson at Fraser and I up here at a much smaller work, we broke the mold, because he stayed at Fraser, I think, 32 years, and I stayed at Walnut Creek 28 years, and loved every minute of it. And it was just great.
Some wonderful folks at Walnut Creek. Of course, I grew up at Walnut Creek and First Baptist. That was my two churches growing up.
Right.
Dad,
I remember.
Mom and her parents were from First Baptist, right. And Dad was Walnut Creek. Of course, Mom went to Walnut Creek with Dad, and my grandparents were also at Walnut Creek, along with my uncles and aunts.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the family there. So I grew up at Walnut Creek, and I have some real fond memories there.
I
hated to see the old building go, because
I know,
because around the left side of that building, facing it around the left side down there, there was some hedge bushes that Dad kept trimmed pretty good, and kept the leaves off of them on my hiney.
I will remember. And, you know,
it cut up a little bit. He'd snatch me up off that back pew. He usually sat on the back pew, and he'd take me out to the side of that church. And I know they'd have to hear me hollering and screaming in the church, and he was wearing me out.
Oh, yeah.
And I appreciate every lick he gave
me,
because I needed about twice as many as I got.
Yeah. But you mentioned the people, Chris, and you know this, with your career in radio and the things that you've been involved in here in Clanton and Children County, it's not the place, it's the folks. And I came away from Walnut Creek with lifetime memories of so many people. And one that you mentioned when you and I were establishing this time for the program today was Mr. Ray Enfinger.
Most folks remember him from Chicago Sales.
Chicago Sales. I don't know that I've ever known a finer man.
I would say the same thing.
He gave me a little piece of advice one time that I passed on. He said, Tony, he said, when you get your hand in a lion's mouth, in other words, if you get in some difficulty, he said, pat the lion's head until he opens his mouth, then take your hand out, and then keep it out. In other words, learn from the experience. And Ray was just, he was just a terrific fellow. And
His wife, Miss Murdy, sweetest lady ever walked.
Oh, absolutely, yes, they were just wonderful, glorious people. But he was the bell cow at Walnut Creek.
Yeah, he knew everything about Walnut Creek.
Sir. Well, his dad had built the church that you were talking about a moment ago, the old church that's no longer there. His dad was the pastor there, I think, in the 30s.
Yeah,
when that building was erected, and then. And I'll tell you this little story of a connection. When we started talking about building the new church across the road on the west side of 458 there, and eventually then it became the Fellowship Hall and a brand new sanctuary and Sunday school rooms and a big, nice youth center, as God provided a glorious blessing there. But people were reluctant, as you were saying, that you missed that building. Until Ray Enfinger said, folks, it's time that we build anew.
Yep.
That was it, you know. Once Ray had given his stamp of approval there, then the project just took wings. And before you know it, we were starting. And there were so many people that made a contribution to that, of not only money, but of their efforts, of their time and talent and energy. And a dream became a reality, and I think it's one of the most beautiful sanctuaries anywhere.
It is. I had the opportunity a few weeks back to go fill in and lead the music a couple of Sundays,
right.
And was able to fill in and speak for Chris, the current pastor there.
That's right. Judge
Sunday.
Speaks.
Some of the same folks still there. Of course, a lot of them going on to be with the Lord now that used to be there. You know, one of my fondest memories is on Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Yeah.
Dinner on the ground.
Mother's Day, we did that for many, many, many years until it was time to make a change for the better, because it got to where that, you know, people were wanting to be other places on that very special day, to be with mothers and grandmothers in other parts of the county and state. And so we said, okay, we'll move that then to another day to give people the opportunity that they've had.
Yeah, I can remember the old concrete tables out shade trees, and they would be lined up. And if you were smart, you would head to the dessert table first.
That's right.
And you'd get you a piece of Mrs. Zimmerman's red velvet cake and a piece of Aunt Belle's pecan pie.
Yes, sir.
And because if you didn't get it first,
you
wouldn't want none.
You wasn't going to get it. And we're talking about the picnic tables there, concrete blocks underneath and poured concrete, and then a concrete tables on top. It was on the opposite side of the road from the church. And which was right next to the parsonage. And the parsonage was a pretty small home when Beth and I first got there in 1987. You remember Mr. Reuben Devon?
I do.
Okay, Mr. Reuben and Miss Evelyn Devon. In the Methodist Church, we have conferences, and there's an annual conference held each year down in Montgomery. And at that time, for many years, it was at Huntington College. And they would have representatives from every church. Well, the representatives from Walnut Creek that year were Reuben and Evelyn Devon. And I found out their name, and I looked them up, and we met. And they took Beth and me out to the Red Lobster there near Eastdale Mall for supper that night. And they were my first people to meet from Walnut Creek, and they were just great. Mr. Reuben led the singing, and Miss Evelyn was just a fixture out there. And so they began the love affair that I had with the folks at Walnut Creek. And then through that, with all of the people of Clanton, as we stayed here at the conference, would say, time to move. And I'd say, well, we got such good things going on here. Let me stay another year or two. And so I would dodge being moved and got involved in the schools, first of all. And that was a blessing. To get involved with the, you know how I love sports, and we'll talk about that in a minute because that was my connection with y'all out here.
Yeah.
But I got involved with the football team as the chaplain, and we began to have fifth quarters on home game Friday nights out there at the church, and that was a wonderful time. There's a lot of young men and women that are now members of the community that remember those times and mention them to me from time to time. And got involved with the radio station here back when Jack had it, and announced some ball games, some baseball games, and did a little bit of football on the county side of things, and just enjoyed the relationships, and from that became a member of the Lions Club, and from there just had a wonderful experience of life in Clanton and Chilton County. Wasn't born here, but it's my home. It is my home.
Well, once you get here, it's tough to leave, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't have any desire.
You were mentioning your involvement as chaplain with the football team at the high school. I know you were a chaplain there as our nation changed some views on things, and they said, oh, you cannot have prayer at the beginning of a football game, and which is not true.
You
can have prayer. The principal or the teachers can't instigate it and lead it, but the students, and that's what a lot of people don't realize. They say, you know, we don't have prayer in school. We don't have prayer.
Yes,
they took
do.
The rights of the teachers away to instill prayer or instigate,
make it mandatory.
Instigate prayer
yeah.
in any way. But the students still have their full rights, and they can pray anytime they want to. And at football games, they started this moment of silence stuff because they took the easy way out. They said, well, we're just going to just cut it out and not do it. And I was real disappointed in our education system at that time. The first football game, they said, we're not going to have an invocation. We're just going to have a moment of silence.
Right.
In fact,
right.
I guess it was one of the few times in my life I protested. We gathered up some folks and bought some paper and printed some flyers with the Lord's Prayer on it and passed them out at the gate and said, when they go to the moment of silence, if you're a Christian, stand up and recite the Lord's Prayer.
That's right.
And we did. And you'd be surprised how many people were scared to stand up and pray. The whole law says that the education system can't require or instigate the prayer, but
that's
students
right.
have those rights to do that. And I want our parents to know you encourage your students to pray.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a lot of them are doing that. And it wasn't but just a little while before they kind of figured that out, Chris. And now you have students who are leaders to pray. And excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt that thought, but I wanted to get something else in. And you mentioning the school and football and cheerleaders. And I think the radio station is going to, if possible, carry this coming Saturday morning. And I mean, like this Saturday, the 21st,
yes,
at City Hall, we're having a prayer vigil. Some of the leaders in the community are going to be there to offer a prayer for unity and togetherness and as we move forward as a city and as a community, because you can't stay in the present day. You've got to move forward. There is no choice but to move forward because life is lived in that mode. You try to keep the established good things, certainly, but we need to pray for everybody to be able to at least to see the other person's point of view and ideas. Even if you disagree, You can have a different point of view without being disagreeable.
You can always agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree, and remain friends, and let love abound in the community. But two of our students from Chilton County are coming to offer prayer Saturday morning. Sophie Porter, who is our current Peach Queen and a cheerleader and one of the fine students out there, is going to be one of the folks offering a prayer. And I thought that was so neat because a young person exemplifying and professing their faith by being willing to stand up and to pray like that, that's unique, and I think it's very powerful for everybody that watches. And the other one is the DeMarcus Riddick, that splendid young athlete, one of the best I've ever seen around here, who has recently signed a football scholarship with the University of Georgia. He's going to also be there as one of the participants and one of the folks that will be offering prayers along with a lot of other folks in our community who have leadership roles in different segments of our communities. I'm really, really proud of those two young people.
Yes, and WKLF is planning on being there. This program airs on Friday morning, so that will be tomorrow.
That's right.
As you hear this, unless you're listening to the rerun on Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, then you're too late, you missed it.
excuse me, that's right. So I want to invite anyone that wants to come and be there at City Hall in the City Council room, and it starts at 10 o'clock. this coming Saturday, the 21st of January. I think it is a good event. We had one about 2 years ago, and you were a part of that.
Yes, I remember it well.
And we've got a pretty much a different slate of folks that are going to offer prayers this time, but it I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great, great event, and we'd welcome anybody to come down there and be a part of it.
We carried that last time, and I think that's probably one of the things that we've gotten more comments out of from the community than a lot of things that we've done since Rob and I have taken over WKLF, so we look forward to being there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your present church. You left Walnut Creek.
Yeah.
We've talked about Walnut Creek, but you're now at another church that that has some family members in it that have some deep root ties to WKLF, and that's out at Mount Nebo.
Right. I'll go back to
the Cup family out there, and their descendants, Miss Mary was
Mary,
she was the
mainstay,
the grease in the wheel here at
you
WKLF.
You believe it. She kept it running, and she kept it running in a good direction. Absolutely. And listen, if anybody knew Mary, then they know Judine, and Judine is one of the most capable people I've ever run across. I mean, she is just absolutely a treasure. But let me back up. In 1987, at that time, Walnut Creek had a Saturday morning program here at WKLF.
Mm-hmm.
1987. Al Headley was here. Roger Mims was here. I think Rob was here.
Yeah.
But anyway, the first Saturday that I was here, they had told me about it. I get out here, you know, and I'm talking to them, introducing myself, and they were very nice. And I said, well, now, should I do this program live or record it? And they said, well, either way you'd like to do it, Brother Hughes. He said, but today you're not going to be able to do it. I said, well, why? They said, because you're an hour late. I had thought it was at 8, but no, it was at 7. And an addendum to that was, that, you remember Miss Bertha Bates?
Uh-huh.
She was a blind lady.
Yeah.
She would call the house about 5 o'clock on Saturday morning. You going to the radio station today, Brother Houston? I said, yes, but I mean, I'm going to wait a couple hours before I go. But she would make sure. But anyway, then I got in the saddle and got straight on that. And I've enjoyed being a part of this radio station. And you and Rob and our beloved Lael, who has now passed away.
Yes, we miss him.
Yeah, I know, but y'all are so good to the faith community of Chilton County, and to special events and to everybody else. And you've been just so very nice to me, giving me an opportunity to speak a word for the Lord and a word for the faith, and to have a part of the program of America's Favorites on Sunday morning. And then other things that y'all have done. The radio station has just been so important in my life ever since 1987. You know, during COVID, we were not able to have our Lenten lunches. So y'all made arrangements for me to bring a pastor and a singer out here and to do it live over there in your studio. And that was great. A lot of people listened to that. And then the year that we were able to have it, y'all came out and announced them from the fellowship hall there at Mount Nebo. And we're going to try to do that again this year. But y'all have just been so very, very welcoming and willing to do anything to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that's because in your heart you are a person of faith. But back to Walnut Creek. After 4 years, and this would have been about 91 or 92, I can't remember exactly, the conference called and said, listen, we'd like to change your schedule. And I said, okay. They said, instead of going out to Isabella, Thorsby Church has no one to serve it right now. And what we'd like for you to consider is that I had been ordained an elder, which is the highest ordination in the United Methodist Church. I've since then surrendered that, but that's another story. So I said, okay. And so I started going to Thorsby, Beth and I did, every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock to give them a service. And that proved to be one of the greatest blessings. Ned and Carol Lowry and their daughter Jennifer and her husband Lance and little boy Samuel, they got to come in. So we had a song leader and a pianist there. and some other folks like John and Carol Sasser and Mark and Leanne Knight. We had a great little crowd there, and if you've ever seen that church, it's just a little boutique chapel.
Yep. Beautiful little church.
Beautiful church. So for the remainder of the 28 years, we were there also. And then for some reason that I didn't realize at the time, there's a mandatory retirement in the Methodist Church. You have to retire at age 72. But for some reason, the Lord put it on my heart to go ahead and do that at age 71. So I retired a year earlier than I actually had to. And then I began to wonder, well, Lord, what's the next thing? Well, the Lord already knew what the next thing was. I was at that time the chairman of the Montgomery Prattville area district on ministry, and we interviewed pastors each year who were not elders, but who were local pastors. And the pastor out at Mount Nebo was one of those folks that we interviewed along about the second or third week in January. And he was going back, and everybody I knew around here was going back. So the church had said, well, we would like for you to continue to serve a smaller work if you're interested. And I said, I'll be interested. We'll just talk about it. Well, about 3 weeks before Beth and I were to finish up at Walnut Creek, the bishop called and said, there's a church opening. And I said, where? And they said, Mount Nebo. And, well, I knew all those folks at Mount Nebo, you know, had known them for years, the Ellisons and the Culps and Smithermans. And so I said, I was kind of like Brer Rabbit, don't you dare throw me in that briar patch. So I said, yeah, I would consider that. And so wound up being appointed there that very same year, so I never missed a Sunday in the pulpit. And now for 8 years, I have just had a perfect blessing, better than I have, at Mount Nebo.
Wonderful folks, and I know why you like it so good, too, because we found that out when we come out to do the Lenten lunches.
Food.
is just like all those cooks we talked about at Walnut Creek.
They know how to cook.
Mount Nebo's got some of them, too, because
yes,
there's
sir.
some good cake and stuff there, too.
And like the other, like Thorby, they're Pleasant Grove is on the charge with them, and that's Roger and Paula Mims and Benny and Eloise and April Langston and her children and some others that are a part of that church. And like Scooter Culp said, he said, we are one congregation, but we have two church houses.
Yeah. Yeah, Scooter's a very special man in my life, too.
Sir.
He was the director at Career Tech Center when was hired as a teacher, and he's the one that... Him and Don Hand was the superintendent. Scooter's the one that recommended me for my career that I was able to spend 25 years on the mission field with.
That's right. Well, Scooter, like I said about Ray Infanger, he's one of the finest men I've ever met. I mean, he don't come any better.
Good man. His theory of education and mine lined up pretty good. Well, there's always a way to get through to a kid. If they don't get it one way, there's more than one way.
That's right.
Don't write them off. He challenged me, and through my career, I don't think I ever gave up on one at all.
That's right. That's right. God don't give up on us, so
no.
We don't need to give up on people.
Right. Well, we got just a couple of minutes left, Tony, I've had fun
chatting with you this morning. Strolling down memory lane.
Yeah, and that's what our town's about. It's about the people that have made our town and the people that are making our town. And you're one of those that has been a part of our town for since 1987 and still a vital part of it in the civic organizations and in the faith community and spearheading things like the prayer vigil and some of that stuff. We appreciate you so much.
And I appreciate that, and I would like to comment on that. I have thoroughly enjoyed my relationship with city government, with Mayor Mims and Bob Wood, the chief of staff, and several of the council members. I have thoroughly enjoyed the opportunities that has given me to represent my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to do things in His name that I think... I mean, you can build all sorts of things, Chris, and you know this very, very well, but if you don't build it on a base of faith, it's going to crumble because that's the only rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. You can build anything you want to build as long as He's a part of the foundation. If He's not, you're wasting your time.
It's coming tumbling down. All right, Tony, we appreciate you again so much being a part of Pete's Talk.
I've had a good time.
And we look forward. We'll have you back again somewhere later on down the schedule. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you,
Chris. And we thank our listeners for your time and allowing us to come into your life for this past 30 minutes. And you join us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock for Pete's Talk, This Is Our Town, and the rerun of it on Sunday evenings at 5. I'm Chris Johnson. Thank you for your time. This has been Pete's Talk. This is our town.